It's Living on Earth. I'm Steve Kerwood. Collecting things is an age-old hobby. From snow globes to baseball cards to seashells, just about anything can be a collectible if you put it in a nice glass case. But there are people in America who collect something that is never going to fit in a case, the garage, or an attic, the highest points in the 50 states. Emmett Fitzgerald has the story from Foster, Rhode Island.
Ask a group of Rhode Islanders what the highest point in their state is, and you'll get a few different responses. I've heard everything from the 15th floor of the Science Library at Brown University to the very top of the landfill in Johnston. Truth is, it's just an ordinary hill in the woods.
Right now, we're at the trailhead, if you want to call it that, near the summit of Rhode Island State High Point, Jerimoth Hill.
Since 1992, Stony Burke has crisscrossed the country in dogged pursuit of an unusual goal: to stand on the highest point of every state in the country. Stony climbs each peak on foot, but getting to the trail requires a lot of driving. Today, he's standing next to a red Jeep he calls Cynthia Rose, the car that's been with him the whole way.
She's been to all 48 state high points at least twice. She's on her third time around. And it's got almost 395,000 miles on it, same motor.
Stony isn't the only one with this vacation-consuming hobby. There's a whole club of people delighted to drive a few thousand miles to stand on top of Clingman's Dome, the highest point in Tennessee, or Mount Magazine, Arkansas's apex.
I'm Roy Wallen. I've been in the High Pointers Club for a long time, 15, 20 years probably.
The club itself goes back longer than that. Stony Burke says it began 30 years ago with a guy named Jack Longacre.
Back around 1987, 88, he posted an ad in Outside Magazine to see if anybody else was as crazy as he was to go to the 50 state high points, and he got some immediate responses, and the club was formed from then.
Since then, the High Pointers Club has taken off.
We have over 2,500 dues-paying members.
Only a handful of those have reached all 50 state high points. A few of the peaks on the list require serious mountaineering experience and a bit of luck. Stony tried to climb Denali in Alaska twice, only to get blown off the mountain both times. Roy Wallen says you have to prepare for each high point differently.
Today, because it's raining, I brought a rain jacket, and that's it. If you're going to a big peak, I mean, you could have full winter gear and crampons and ice axe and...
You didn't bring your crampons for Jerimoth Hill?
Not today.
Although it's only 812 feet tall, Jerimoth Hill isn't the lowest high point out there. That title belongs to Florida's Britton Hill, which clocks in at a mere 345 feet. Still, Stony Burke says the trip to Rhode Island's highest point isn't exactly a demanding trek.
The elevation change from the road to the summit itself is negligible. It's probably maybe 8 feet.
Although it's little more than a leisurely walk, Jerimoth Hill wasn't always so easy to get to. Back in the 1990s, Henry Richardson and Ed Bouchard ran a piano business out of their home by the trailhead. Henry and Ed liked their privacy and didn't want hikers wandering around their property looking for the high point.
They would show up in the evening, or they would have headlamps on trying to find it, and they'd wander around in the woods because it wasn't really clear where the actual summit was. And Henry Richardson could hear these people in his woods, and he'd get upset with it and chase people out, sometimes with a bedpost or maybe even waving a pistol or something like that. I've heard several stories, and I have several friends that have those kind of encounters.
Henry Richardson closed access to Rhode Island's High Point altogether, but the high pointers kept coming. Once, a hiker from Iowa tried to take a picture of the no trespassing sign outside Henry Ned's little red house.
Henry ran out of the house and asked him what he was doing, and the fellow tried to explain it to him, and Henry grabbed his camera strap, ripped it off his neck, and threw the camera to the ground and broke it. So he kind of ran away in fear at that point. He called the local police to see if there's anything he could do about it, and they pretty much explained that he lived in Iowa, and Henry was here, and he had a right to keep people off his property.
Then, two men from Alaska tried to find an alternate route to the high point at night. They crossed through another private property a few doors down from Henry and Ed's house.
And the fellas that lived there ended up holding the Alaskans at gunpoint until the police came and arrested them.
Little Jerimoth Hill soon became notorious in the high-pointing community. Rhode Island's biggest bump stymied climbers with Rocky Mountain credentials. At the height of the Jerimoth Hill drama, the club website declared it America's most inaccessible high point. Some people even suggested the state circumvent the problem by adding 8 feet to Durfee Hill, Rhode Island's second highest point. But the club continued to negotiate for access, and in 1999, they struck a deal with Henry and Ed to allow hikers access to the summit on a few days each summer. High Pointers from all over the country flocked to Rhode Island for a chance to bag Jeremiah.
On average, we'd have 70 up to 180 people on those particular days show up.
The open access days continued without serious incident until 2001, when Henry Richardson died and a couple named Jeff and Debbie Mosley bought the little red house by the trailhead.
We made fast friends with the Mosleys over the years. They opened access 7 days a week.
When the Mosleys moved out, the state bought the land, and now Jeremiah Hill is open to the public all day, every day. As the rain picks up, we make final preparations for our ascent. Stoney suggests we time the trip, and Roy says he'll count our steps. We huddle under my umbrella and strike out down the trail.
You ready? All right, 3, 2, 1, here we go.
Okay, we're 48 seconds into it, and there's another Jeremiah Hill sign. There's a little bit of a cross trail here. We'll take a right.
All right, getting close.
All right, we're just about 4 minutes in. Pass another trail sign.
Oh, have we arrived?
We're here. This is the summit.
As we catch our breath, Stoney and Roy tally the stats.
I was right at 300 steps.
300 steps in our final time?
4.5 minutes.
Quite a journey.
It was a rugged haul. I'm glad I prepared for it.
Well, how are you guys feeling after that?
A little out of breath. Probably just sit here for a few minutes and recuperate and hope I can get used to the altitude.
Roy says that as high points go, Jeremiah Hill isn't much to look at. Just a few rocks and a cluster of trees.
No, there's no view. But it's a nice spot in the woods.
On top of every high point, there's a registry book. Jeremiah Hill's registry is in a green ammo box nestled in the rocks.
I'm not going to open it.
The damp pages are filled with names of high pointers from all over the country.
Pennsylvania, West Virginia, the Woodlands, Texas, Gainesville, Florida, Dover, Massachusetts, Binghamton, New York, Silverton, Colorado. Here's a note. Can't believe I put my hiking boots on for this one.
Stoney scrawls our names into the logbook, then pulls out a pamphlet about the High Pointers Club. It lists some of the records that the club keeps track of. Most high points in a single day, most high points after age 75, that sort of thing.
Oldest person to reach a high point.
Frampton Ellis, how old?
91 years, 17 days. We've had the youngest person to reach a high point, Natalie Smith, is 11 days old, 35 minutes. That was the state of Pennsylvania. Dave Johnson has done all 50 state high points in the winter. That's quite an accomplishment. Dogs on high points, that one always kind of cracked me up. The Pellegrinis, for example, they've taken Ozzy up to 36 state high points. That's a cool thing if you can do that. I think the dogs have every right to go to a high point, just like people do.
Roy Wallen has a record of his own. Once he climbed the 6 New England state high points, Roy started going to the highest point in every county as well.
I've done all the New England county high points, so now I gotta, if I'm going to do any new ones, I gotta venture farther west.
When you start collecting counties as well as states, high pointing can get a bit out of control.
When we go on vacation, we go so that I can go do a high point, either a state or county high point.
What does your wife think?
She thinks I'm crazy. It's a disease.
It may be a little crazy, but Roy says high pointing provides an organizing principle for adventure.
To me, the best part is it takes you places in the country where you never would have been otherwise. I probably never would have gone to see Mount Rushmore if I hadn't had this driven obsession to go to Harney Peak, which was more important to me.
And while not every high point would make it into Lonely Planet, each one has something to offer.
They're all kind of cool, and they're unique, so everyone's got its own special flavor and special attractions.
Stoney Burke closes up the ammo box and tucks it back among the rocks. Wet, cold, but not the least bit tired, we walk back to the car. Stoney's still got two serious peaks left on his list, Mount Denali in Alaska and Granite Peak in Montana. And he tells me he's not stopping anytime soon.
Anytime I can get out on the road and go to a high point, I'm going for it. We're standing here in the rain today. I have no problem doing that.
As we say goodbye, Stoney hands me a yellow High Pointers wristband and tells me I'm eligible to join the club. I've already climbed Vermont's Mount Mansfield, so only 48 states to go. But I don't think I'll be catching Stony anytime soon. For Living on Earth, I'm Emmett Fitzgerald at Jerimuth Hill in Rhode Island.